Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word for Today with Reverend Andre Thompson.
Get ready for real talk, real life issues in the next half hour.
The next voice you will hear will be no other than Reverend Andre Thompson.
Well, God bless you, and good afternoon. This is yours truly, Pastor Andre Thompson. I'm delighted to come into your home on the internet, wherever you may be. Amen. This is the Word for the Day, Radio Broadcast Ministries, and I'm your host, and I'm your speaker for today. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. Amen. We've been praying for peace. Peace over there in Baltimore. Amen. We've been just praying that the Lord would just move in a mighty way. I'm glad that the leaders are coming together. The police and the leaders are talking, and things are starting to settle. Amen. But it's truly important that we don't stop there, that we continue to pray. Without Jesus in the mix, there will always be some type of chaos. Amen. But I want to talk about leadership that empowers on today. Leadership that empowers. Amen. And one of the things I want to bring your attention to is the chapter of the book of Acts, chapter number 6. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and just read a little bit of that right now for you. Amen. And it says in verse 1, praise God, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program." And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nican, Timon, Parthenos, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now, Lord, for your word on today. Lord, we want to bless you. Lord, as I decrease, you increase, Lord. And Lord, that you would just have your way. Lord, we thank you right now, Father. For
Q&A session started.
We ask you right now, Father, that you would just have your way on today in this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, beloved, we find out, amen, that there's a situation that seems to go on and is prevalent even on today, which is that you find the leaders or the pastors that seem to be doing everything. Amen. They're handling all type of different things, but it was interfering with what they needed to do, which was to study, read the word, be able to spread and pass this word on to other people to preach, in other words. And there was so many different things going on. And in Acts 6, the new Christian community faced a crisis of leadership. The Hellenists and the Greek-speaking Jews in Jerusalem were upset because the needs of their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. This distribution threatened the development of the church with the rumblings of discontent. Amen. And it had to be seriously addressed. Even on today, you can see that we have the same need, that a lot of different things need to be addressed, a lot of confusion, misunderstanding. So we got to correct these things so that it will not be so. Praise God. Well, we find out in the book of Acts, and we're still in verse number 1, chapter 6, verse 1, and had to be seriously addressed. It says that, amen, Wisely, the apostles recognized the problem in verses 2 and 3 and called for the selection of seven men to administer the food program. Many interpreters see the seven as the first deacons. Amen. But nonetheless, the apostles provided leadership that empowers by sensitivity, listening to the genuine community's need. It's important that we can have an ear to listen to the genuine community's needs. You know, a lot of times the people around us, our community, they're crying out and they have a need. But are you listening? So I think about over there in Boston, this community, they had a need. They've been crying out for years for justice, but no one was paying attention. It was being overlooked. And what happened? It erupted into something that no one was expecting to happen right away, or they wasn't expecting this to happen. But see, because of circumstance, that's one thing about God's word. You don't matter how old, how young you are, the Bible says that what's done in the dark will come to the light. And this injustice that's been going on around this country that's been in the dark, that's been supposedly invisible, amen, came to light. It came to a head. So the apostles provided leadership that empowers. See, it's one thing, we got to be able to empower others, amen, by the sensitivity of listening to genuine community needs. This wise handling of the issue with the united responsibility of action of both people and leaders. So there's a combination, and this can't be just us, but it has to be the people, it has to be the folks in your community. We all have to come together. It has to be an action that is being done together. If we're working and coming together to solve a need, to answer the problem, amen. And one of the things, it resulted in spiritual growth and increased the number of believers. See, and this is what we're looking to do. Why? Because, see, when we're able to answer the need, we're able to show the love, that agape love that God has for us and also for the people, amen. It changes the heart. It helps embody. It helps us to be able to give folks hope. See, when there's no hope, when there's no vision, our people, they perish, amen. And this is what I want to share with you on today, that one of the things was, if you think about it, the Bible says in the verses number 7 in the book of Acts, so we're still in the book of Acts 6, but in verse 7, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So even those that were still living according to their old ways, the priests, the Jewish priests that didn't really accept the calling, or should I say the teaching of Jesus Christ, even they were converted. There was an explosion going on. There was something that had changed in the midst of the praise God. Different gifts were recognized in the church and put to work for the common good. Amen. A clear division of labor was agreed upon, with the apostles attending to preaching and teaching, and the material needs of the people being handled by other spirit-filled leaders. See, that's so important that you understand that, you know, when they prayed, amen, they didn't just make a decision or just to give it to anyone, amen, but they had spoken this situation, and God gave them wisdom, amen. See, not anybody can handle the things of God. You can't put, you know, I could say, dirty hands to the good works, amen. And what you mean, man of God? Well, the Bible said that everyone had liked the idea that the apostles had came up with. First of all, they said in the book of Acts, number chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 1 again, because I want you to get this if you just join me. It said, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, see, there was an explosion going on. The believers were, the church was increasing rapidly. It wasn't suddenly, but it was rapidly. And there was rumblings of discontent. Why? Because the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against so-called a meeting of all the believers. See, we have to all come together. We need to all be able to be on the same mind, have the same spirit. What you mean? Well, we have to be serving God in spirit and truth. So we have to all be able to agree and believe in what God is doing. And they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. And what God is, you know, what God is saying, just don't choose any old body. First of all, they got to be well respected. Sound like a deacon to me. Amen. The qualifications, you know, well respected, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And able to do what? Well, to have wisdom and give them that responsibility. So we understand that this freed up the apostles. And see, we all have an obligation. We're all parts of the body. Amen. There's many parts of the body, many people, but there's only one body. And we all need to be able to work together. And that's one of the problems that we see on today, is that everyone wants to do their own thing. Everyone doesn't want to put in their hand to a good work. They rather just benefit off of the good times and the food programs and whatever it may be that they can benefit from, but they don't want to put in no work. Because you start asking folks, well, will you do this or will you volunteer to do this? Folks will start complaining, well, I don't want to do that. That's not my calling. And folks don't want to do anything. They want just the leaders to do everything. And it shouldn't be that way, beloved. Amen. But every believer has the opportunity to exercise some kind of ministry. The usefulness of every Christian in the service of God is sometimes called the priesthood of all believers. Let me repeat that for you. Amen. Because, see, this is what I'm talking about, and I thank God that he just emphasized on it a little bit more. You see, because I'm going to go up a little bit. See, the apostles provided leadership that empowered by the sensitivity, listening to the genuine community's needs, these wise handling of the issue with the united responsibility and actions of both people and leaders resulted in spiritual growth and increased the number of believers. Amen. A clear division of labor was agreed upon with the apostles attending to preaching and teaching, and the material needs of the people being handled by other spirit-filled leaders. Every believer has the opportunity to to exercise some kind of ministry. This usefulness of every Christian is the service of God and sometimes called the priesthood of all believers. Amen. Not everyone has the same role, but all have the same calling to use their gifts in God's service. God has given the church its leaders, not to lord over it, to serve the community. The leaders of the church do well when they recognize both the needs of the community and those whom God has prepared to meet those needs. Good leaders recognize gifted people and help them develop, empowering the members of the body to use their God-given gifts. Amen. And this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about leadership that empowers. Amen. If you turn with me real quickly to the book of Ephesians, amen, the 4th chapter, verses 11 through 12. Let me turn over there right along with you. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 11 through 12. Amen. And I want to give you a little time to get there, praise God. But I want you to see something that that's written in the Bible here, because it's so important that we understand that what God is saying to us on today. Amen. I hope that you have it. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12. It says, now leave all the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Amen. And see, one of the things that I wanted to say to you is that as we read that verse, you know, it tells us something. What you mean, man of God? Well, it tells me, first of all, that God, he set up an order. He set up a government, if I may say. And within that government, there's a structure. Within that structure, there's been orders given out. And the thing is, if we follow the blueprint, the results of the blueprint, amen, it's the unity. It's us raising up to be able to measure up to the fullness and the complete standard of Christ. And no, in verse 14 it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. See, God wants us to be mature, amen. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be able to have wisdom and knowledge. And see, it says we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. You see, in other words, we will be able to discern the truth, amen. We will know because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, because we have been able to indulge into the word, to the Bible says, to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We will be mature. We will be able to know the truth. So when someone comes with a lie, when someone says something that sounds almost so surreal, but you will know the truth, you'll be able to diffuse what's not of God. Because see, the Bible said that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, it will not follow. Amen. So there's many strangers, there's many voices, there's many teachings, there's many philosophies, there's all type of stuff going on out there in this world that we live in today. And if you're not well grounded in the word of God, amen, people can just come by and tell you any type of story and say any old thing to you, and you'll be persuaded, you'll be lifted off your feet. And see, God doesn't want you to be in that position, amen, but he wants you to continually be well grounded in his word, amen. We need to be able to be in unity, respecting one another. The body of Christ has to come together and mature, and it has to be in unity, amen. I want to say to you on today that let no one sit there and cause you to lose your joy. Let no one sit there and tell you, amen, that you are serving a false god, amen. But I want you to just to hold on, amen. Because see, we know what we've been through. Our testimony is what helps us to continue to grow in God. Why? Because through our testimony, we have victory. And our victories become our story. Our hardships become our testimony. When our backs against the wall becomes our testimony, amen. When we're going through, amen. When we've been praying and asking God, Lord, help me. Save my son. When we knew we should have been dead, but we're still here alive, amen. It becomes our testimony. And through our testimony, amen, we have power. Through our testimony, it encourages us, amen. And instead, in verse 15 in Ephesians 4, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full, and the full of love. In other words, we all have an assignment, amen, and we're all doing our part, amen. There's no big me's, little you's, but when we're all doing our part, amen, and being a part of the body of Christ, amen, and allowing God just to use us just the way that he had called us to be used, amen. And one thing I like to say is that when we can come together and we can dismantle all the bickering and arguments, there's no need for that, praise God. But the leaders of the church do well when they recognize both the needs of the community and those whom God has prepared to meet those needs. God's leaders recognize gifted people and help them to develop, empower members of the body, amen, to use their God-given gifts, amen. So I want you to remember on today, beloved, that even as we go forth, see, the church was growing. We was in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And we find out that the church was growing. There was, you know, two different varieties of people. We had the, amen, we had the Greek-speaking believers, and we had the Hebrew-speaking believers, amen. And the problem that they had, amen, was that the widows were, they felt, were being discriminated when it came down to the distribution, amen, of the daily food, amen. So the apostles, amen, had to have them vote on seven people that were filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, that were wise and had wisdom and had a good reputation. And I like to say that they were probably the first seven deacons, amen. Praise God. I said, well, before I get out of here, I just want to go to another scripture real quick, amen. What, turn with me to 1 Peter 2 and 5, amen. 1 Peter 2 and 5. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 5. Praise God. And the Bible says, amen, and you are living stones that God is building into the spiritual temple. What's more, you are the holy priest through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that, amen, that please God. As the scripture says, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Amen. But I want you to understand that we go up to verse number 4. It says, you are coming to Christ. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by his people, but was chosen by God for great honor. So verse 5, it says, and you are the living stones. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Amen. What's more, you are his holy priest through mediation of Jesus Christ. You offered spiritual sacrifices that pleased God. Amen. And I want you to understand that God's people themselves, they constitute the spiritual temple where God dwells at. Amen. Jesus compared his body to a temple. Amen. And the church is called the body of Christ. Amen. So God no longer manifests himself in a particular place, but in the people who belong to him and praise his goodness. Amen. So I want you just to be encouraged on today, beloved, and realize and understand that God, he wants us to all utilize and come together in unity. And on today, I'm about to get out of here. On tomorrow, I believe I have a Pastor Jill coming on, the minister to the people of God. But Father, I thank you for this word on today. I thank you for this opportunity to be before your people. Lord, we just ask right now that you just continue this to have your way. Kingdom blessings upon you and your family till we meet again. Yours truly, Pastor Thompson. God bless you. God keep you. And we are so delighted that you join us on today. Amen and amen. God bless. If you would like to sow into our ministry, please go to www.citywidecog.org. Once again, that's www.citywidecog.org. Or you can email us at info@citywidecog. That is info@citywidecog. Visit our website for the Word Today Radio Broadcast Ministry at www.thewordnumber4today.org. That's www.thewordnumber4today.org. Well, this is Pastor Thompson. Until we meet again, kingdom blessings upon you and your family. God bless.